Well, it's a nonprofit, non-lobbying organization that's set up for the advancement of government. It has both government and industry members. Governments through ACT, American Council of Technologies, which created IAC, Industry Advisory Council. You'll hear it in the industry as IAC all the time. And we're set up to help advance government through the delivery of best practices and solutions and intellectual property to government. Have events. People have heard of ELC and MOC. We're probably predominantly known for that. We have fellow organizations with Voyagers and Partners.
Voyager and Partners, essentially mentor programs, one for senior executives that partner industry and, I love these programs, so I just like getting a little bit of plug for them, industry and government folks, and essentially helping you walk in the other person's shoes.
Exactly. They partner up with each other, and the government people try to educate the industry people on what it's like to be in government and vice versa. I was in Partners organization back in 2003. It's very, very beneficial to understand the other side of the equation.
And really helps you and that, if I were to describe the mission, when people ask me what the Industry Advisory Council is, I would say it's a one place where you can have a safe conversation between government and industry, where people, they put aside their affiliations. Yes, I'm with HP, or yes, I'm with Dell, or yes, I'm with whatever company. And you're purely focused on, okay, this is what industry thinks. This is why we have concerns about maybe this issue or problem. And maybe it may or may not benefit me as a company, but it helps the government do its job better.
Right. And it attracts people that want to make that type of personal contribution. They want to advance government in some fashion. Right. May or may not help them in their company or their personal growth, but they want to see government be advanced. And government people come because they meet other people from government with some similar issues, and we establish this collaborative forum, and they get a lot of value out of it.
Yeah. So you're July 1, you took over. June 1? June 1.
July 1.
July 1, July 1. you took over this post, and you only have a year to do this. And we were talking before we started, this is a lot of work, and I'm guessing you have a day job too.
I try to hold down my day job in addition to this.
So and you almost have to go into it with some thoughts in mind about what you want to accomplish and how you do that. What are you going to do in the next 10 months? What's going to be Andy's mark?
Andy's mark is going to take what we've been doing lately is around developing intellectual property, such as the Vista Project, the Better Buy, the IT dashboard feedback that we gave to OMB. And I really want to build that out and create IAC as this sort of brain trust organization that answers the question, you said it earlier, what does industry think about this?
Yeah.
We're finding the administration's asking that question of us. We have a few new projects coming up. We'll come in and talk to you about that in the future.
Great.
The Hill is very interested in what industry thinks, and we're developing some relationships up there as well. And so I do definitely want to be creating a strategic relationship with the Hill. That's part of my agenda as well. But also we really want to further the cause of education. And PG, who's president of American Council of Technologies, and I are, cahoots, if you will, on doing this together. And we have engaged a consultant to help us understand how to repurpose some of our intellectual property. And you're going to see a lot more around education and IAC as a provider of that.
So when you say education, meaning training kinds of things, or give us an example of what kinds of things we're talking about.
It could be around training. I mean, a couple of ideas being kicked around are, what about what does enterprise architecture need to look like in Department of Defense? And who does that training right now? And who's best to do that? So we're working on ideas like that. How about NEEMS? Where do people pick up training around this new standard for data architecture?
Right.
And so we're working on that as well. So there's a lot of our ideas. We're uniquely positioned with our relationship with American Council of Technologies to provide that type of training. And as you said, it's a trusted forum. Come in and talk about those type of things.
One of the issues, and it seems to have calmed over the last couple of years, but there was always a little bit of animosity between the government, the ACT, and the IAC sides, partially because a lot of the money to run the whole organization comes from the industry side, but a lot of the you have to have government there, or else you wouldn't be
do.
As.
Oh, you do. Absolutely.
So it seems like through Martha Doris, who's the former president and now PG of the American Council on Technology, has calmed a little bit.
It has.
Is my perception correct?
Yeah, your perception's correct. I don't think it was a real big issue, but certainly with the leadership from Martha and PG, we've grown very close. In fact, I'll tell you, last night we had a joint board meeting together.
Oh, great.
It was wonderful. Wonderful brainstorming, and we're very close, the two boards.
Talk a little bit, because I know the Industry Advisory Council had a couple financial hiccups over a couple years ago, and PV came in and had to take care of a number of those, and I think you're on pretty firm financial ground now.
Unlike some of our other organizations out there, ACT-IAC is on solid financial footing, both with our revenues and with what we have put aside. We're continuing to look for new resources because we want to do more.
And that's what I want to, because it is challenging times for, we've seen a lot of industry groups either consolidate or have to change in some ways. And you guys essentially have earned money through membership and through events.
Membership and events are the two primary sources of income. Education might be a new source of income. We actually did a study last year. We had a business model committee set up. John O'Kay led that, actually. And they came back with some ideas to raise new sources of revenue. And so we're expanding. While other people are contracting or consolidating, et cetera, we're expanding. We're trying to meet the market need, if you will,
to
advance government. And so we're expanding.
How do you ensure that, it's always seemed to me that adding value, if the Industry Advisory Council adds value, and so people, then they're able to buy into all those things.
Right.
So I guess you're in a similar position to journalism. Content is king.
Content is king, and we've got a rich history of that. I know that you've attended some of the events, and the issues that we tackle are the tough ones, right? There's no issue that ACT-IAC doesn't put on the table and work and develop intellectual property around. We are looking at new ways of delivering our intellectual property, and so you'll hear more about that in the coming year. But I think the real testament is this past year with the administration and other parts of government coming to us and asking, what does industry think? And when we talk to them about that, they say, we believe that if you talk and you give us the solution on this, we can believe that. We can go forward with that. And versus other organizations that have just one slant or one opinion, et cetera, we can talk for industry.
And so that becomes the difference between some of the other industry organizations out there? When you're talking to people who are thinking about being members, why would they join IAC as opposed to one of the other industry groups?
A couple reasons. One, we don't lobby. So that's just, legally we're bound not to lobby, and we don't lobby. We think of ourselves more as educators. But thing that drew me to IAC was you get to make a personal contribution. It's not like you pay your dues and then that organization goes off and works on a problem. You get to pay your dues, come in, and start work, roll up your sleeves, and start to work on the actual issues. So you get a lot out of it, to be frank with you.
I want to talk a little bit about the white papers, because the white papers, the series that you guys have done on a whole host of issues, one of the more impressive ones in my eyes, is the one you guys did on VISTA.
Yeah.
The VA's looking to redesign its, essentially, the preeminent health IT system out there. And they came to you guys and said, hey, help us do this. What would be industry's viewpoint? You put together a committee, and they came up with a, I think, pretty remarkable document. Is that, you said you're going to be doing more of that?
Yes, we are. I'm with you on the VISTA. I was just blown away by that. We had
they did
43
a great
companies
job.
That sent their SMEs to participate in this. Ed Marr was our leader for that. Mm. And if you look at the piece of work, it's an impressive piece of work. And I think the or I know actually the administration and Roger over there is very excited about that. And
Roger Baker, the VA CIO,
absolutely.
When and Roger deserves a lot of credit for coming to you guys and saying, "Hey, help me, give me the industry insight, tap your best and the brightest, and tell me what right. I don't know."
Roger knew us a little bit, so he knew where to go, and we're glad he called. And Anish actually helped out with this as well, and. It was a fantastic piece of work, and that's the model, as it were, for doing other types of white papers out there and tackling other issues. And we're actually in discussions with some folks on the topics of how to improve IT management systems, a hot topic this week.
Yeah,
and then also in cybersecurity. So we're in some discussions on IAC tackling some of those problems. So we're not shy.
So when you think about what topics you need to focus on, do you look at, OMB just came out with their 26 programs you mentioned, the high risk list, and even redid it a little bit because they said these are so essential. These are too important to fail. We can't allow these to fail.
Exactly.
Do you look at those and say, okay, hold on, what value can we add in those kinds of things? How do you approach choosing what you're going to choose?
Well, that one's an interesting one because we're already getting down the road and working with administration. We've done things around how to properly manage IT programs and programs in general over the years. So we've got some intellectual property already developed. But obviously that one's getting pretty hot these days. And so we're actually already in some discussion, and I'm not prepared to talk about what the answer is today.
No, you're looking at it.
But it came up at the CEO roundtable. People might not know that IAC has a CEO roundtable where we gather probably 20, 25 of the top CEOs in town and bring in a government leader. And that topic came up over dinner. It was a good discussion.
Yeah.
A little bit heated, but it was a good discussion. And so from that, we knew that we needed to look into this issue, and we've been doing so.
I think sometimes people outside the Beltway, using that as a broad term, but people outside the Beltway think of they think of government contractors as, these barons. And then they, they're failing and they just don't care that they're failing.
Right.
At least my impression is... they care almost as much as they don't want, if you're developing Sentinel at FBI, you don't want to be tied with a failing program, for goodness sakes.
You never want to be tied to a failed program. Yeah. That's your reputation. That's your qualification to do more work. And if you fail, that's not good.
Yeah.
There's problems follow after that. No one wants to be in the press in a negative light. No one.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about how you manage this thing. Because as you said, you have a day job. So this is all above and beyond what you do otherwise.
Right.
And also IAC has always struck me a little bit like you're the chief cat herder. There are, it's a volunteer organization, a lot of volunteers involved.
Right.
And you have to try and get all those cats pointed at least in the same direction. How do you go about doing that?
I actually was having a conversation this morning with one of the CEOs from the roundtable, and really, to be a successful chair, I think, and I hope, that you have to have a good bit of emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You have limited authority and power. I guess you've been elected, so it's an elected position. But if you don't possess emotional intelligence, I don't think you're going to be very successful.
And you have some, number of the former board chairs. So
I do.
You have some
great mentors.
You can tap into that knowledge.
Yes, I do very frequently. Ellen Glover, Bob Woods, PV, Sarah. I mean, I know quite a few great folks that I call on to offer advice. And I'm very fortunate this year. And as in years past, we have a great board for both ACT and IAC.
Yeah.
So I'm very fortunate in that regard.
So I'm going to ask you I'm going to give you 50,000 watts to talk to two groups of folks. One are people who may have never heard of the Industry Advisory Council. What would you say to those folks? And then I'm going to ask you what you would say to people who are members of the Industry Advisory Council and in terms of, but if somebody's not a member, what do you say to them?
I say join. First of all, it's not that expensive. We're not a lobbying organization. And you get a chance to make a personal contribution on some very important topics. And I just don't know where else you would do that. So I'd say join and get started.
So it struck me, join, but then you have to participate. You have to make.
That's right.
Joining is one thing.
Absolutely.
But it is one of these things where you have to... as you said, roll up your sleeves a little bit and dive into the pool.
To get the value, you roll up your sleeves and you start to make personal contributions, and it will pay off. You will feel good, if nothing else, about the work that you're doing. And that's a very unique position that IAC's in. To our members, I would say, expand your understanding of IAC. It's not just two events. And by the way, there's three now. The Small Business Conference is quite a conference in itself. But we do have the Fellows Organization, Voyagers and Partners. We've got the education, which is coming online. We have these special projects that are turning out to be very important. We do programs. There's so much to the organization. And if nothing else, we've established a volunteer program where we go downtown and do work at homeless shelters and make other contributions during the weekend. So there's plenty of opportunities. There's actually 83 leadership positions within IAC. And that's just the leadership position. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities to make substantial contribution. Get involved.
And at the end of these 10 more months, when we sit down and talk about what you accomplished, what do you hope we're talking about?
I hope we're talking about a different brand for IAC. I hope they recognize that IAC is in fact the brain trust that's trying to advance the cause of good government.
Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have? Anything you wanted to talk about that I wasn't on my agenda?
That was pretty good, I thought.
Excellent. Very nice. You did a nice job.